Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Aleph. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, if one forgot to make a bracha before he ate, he can still make a bracha, and therefore he should, and then continue eating afterwards. If he already finished eating, then he no longer has the opportunity to make a bracha. Number two, there are 10 things that were said regarding the kosher bracha. What should be done to the cup of blessing, the kosher bracha that's used at Birchas Hamazon? Number one, there should be hadacha, which is washing the inside of the cup. Number two, shtifa, which is the rinsing the outside of the cup. Number three, it should be chai, it should be fresh. Now, there are two opinions. Opinion number one is you first pour undiluted wine in the cup and then pour water in afterwards. The second opinion is that you bring fresh wine from the barrel. You should not use a previously poured cup. That's the opinions, two opinions for chai, for fresh. Number four, it should be mole. The cup should be full. Number five, there should be crowning. That's itur. Itur is crowning. Two opinions. One is you should surround the person reciting Birchas Hamazon should be surrounded by his Talmidim, by his students while reciting Birchas Hamazon. The second opinion is they should surround the cup with the other cups of wine, and this is during the second bracha of Birchas Hamazon. So again, that's itur, the crowning. Number six, you should be itzav, which is covering oneself with a cloak while sitting or spreading a scarf over his head. Number seven, you should take it with shtei yadav, you should take it with both hands. Then number eight, he should put it in his right hand. No, yamin, he should put it in his right hand when he actually makes the brachas. Number nine, magbio mina karka tefach, you should lift it up off the ground, at least a tefach high. Number 10, it should be nosen enobo, you should concentrate with his eyes on it so he shouldn't get distracted. So those are the 10 things which were said regarding the kosher brachas. So number one, if one forgot to make a bracha before eight, he can still make a bracha, he should, and then continue to eat. If he already finished eating, then he no longer has the opportunity to make a bracha. Number two is we have the 10 things which were said regarding the kosher bracha. Number three, the Malach HaMavos, the angel of death, told Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi three things. Number one, do not take your shirt in the morning from the hand of the butler. Number two, do not have your hands washed by someone who has not yet washed his own hands. And number three, do not stand in front of women when they're returning from a funeral, because the Malach HaMavos, the angel of death, dances with his sword in his hand and has permission to harm those he meets. So once again, the 3 points we're focusing on. Number one, one forgot to make a bracha before he ate. He can, he should, and therefore make the bracha and then continue to eat. If he has already finished eating, then he no longer has the opportunity to make a bracha. Number two, the 10 things were said regarding the kosher bracha. Number one, there should be hadacha, washing the inside. Number two, shtifa, washing the outside. Number three, it should be chai, fresh, either pour first undiluted wine and then water in afterwards, or bring fresh wine from the barrel. Don't use a previously poured cup. Number four, it should be mole, it should be full. Number five, there should be crowning called itur. That's either surrounding oneself with his Talmidim while he's reciting Birchas Hamazon, or surrounding the cup with other cups of wine. Number six, covering himself with a cloak while sitting or spreading his scarf over his head. That's called ituf. Number seven, he should take the cup with both his hands. Number eight, he should then place it in his right hand. Number nine, he should lift it up a tefach high. And then number 10, concentrate with his eyes on it. And then number three, we said the Malach HaMavos told Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi three things. Number one, do not take your shirt in the morning from the hand of the butler. Number two, do not have your hands washed by someone who's not yet washed his own hands. And number three, do not stand in front of a woman when they're returning from a funeral, because the Malach HaMavos, the angel of death, dances with a sword in his hand and has permission to harm those he meets. All right, so now we're going to go to a simon. So the simon from Nun Aleph is going to be related to the word na, G-N-A-W. And which animal na is none other than beavers. And when you think of beavers, of course, you think of beaver-pelt hats. So we're going to use beaver-pelt hats as our simon for Nun Aleph. All right, here we go. The eccentric who insisted on donning his beaver pelt hat when holding up his freshly rinsed kosher bracha got such a fright when he saw the Malach HaMavos standing by his butler who was holding his shirt. They started drinking the wine without making a bracha. Once again in slow motion. The eccentric who insisted on donning his beaver pelt hat. Beaver pelt hats? Well, beavers not. We must be on Daphne and Olive. The eccentric who insisted on donning his beaver pelt hat when holding up his freshly rinsed kosher bracha. So there we have three things related to the 10 things we do for a kosher bracha. He's wearing a beaver belt hat, so one of the things was to cover oneself up, ituf. He's holding it up, a tefach, presumably, which is the other thing. And he also is freshly rinsed, both in the inside and the outside. That's actually four things. So altogether, once again, the eccentric who insisted on donning his beaver belt hat when holding up his freshly rinsed kosher bracha got such a fright when he saw the Malach HaMavos standing by his butler, who was holding a shirt. Because we're reminded of the Malach HaMavos telling you, Yeshua ben Levi, three things. One, do not take your shirt in the morning from the hand of the butler. Two, do not have your hands washed by someone who has not washed his own hands. And number three, do not stand in front of women when they're returning from a funeral, because the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, dances with his sword in hand and has permission to harm those he meets. So he got such a fright when he saw the Malach HaMavis standing by his butler, who was holding a shirt. They started drinking the wine without making a bracha, which is the first thing we said, was that one who starts to eat and they forgot to make a bracha, they can still make a bracha and then continue to eat. But if they already had finished completing eating, then they have lost the opportunity to make a bracha. So once again, the eccentric who insisted on donning his beaver pelt hat when holding up his freshly rinsed kosher bracha got such a fright when he saw the Malach HaMavis standing by his butler, who was holding a shirt, that he started drinking the wine without making a bracha. All right, so now it's time for four blah bach hazara. Daf Mem Zayin. So the sim for Mem Zayin is a maze. So here we go. The only way for the contestants to escape the maze, which reminds us we're on Daf Mem Zayin, the only way for the contestants to escape the maze while being chased by a group of non-tzitzis wearing Ami Ha'aretz, because that reminds us of the Brisa that lists a number of opinions regarding who is considered an Am Ha'aretz. Rabbi Elazar says anyone who doesn't recite Shema in the morning and the evening. Rabbi Yeshua says anyone who doesn't put on tefillin. Ben Azai says anyone who doesn't wear tzitzis. Rabbi Nassim says anyone who doesn't have a mezuzah on his door's entrance. Rabbi Nassim Bar Yosef says anyone who has sons and doesn't raise them to learn Torah. And Acheru says anyone who doesn't engage in group discussions to discern the underlying reasons and application of the Chumash and Mishnah, according to Rashi. So while being chased by a group of nonsense wearing amarts, was for everybody to finish pronouncing a properly enunciated amen. I'm going to emphasize enunciated as per the input of one of our Zikru members, just to clarify that. It's the enunciation of the amen. And it reminds us that there are many incorrect ways one would respond amen, and Ben Azai warns of the consequences. An amen chatufa is a snatched amen. The office is pronounced with the Shiva instead of a kamatz gadol, instead of amen, amen. One who does this will have his day snatched away. Then there's an amen katufa. An amen katufa is an abbreviated one. That's where the nun at the end is not enunciated clearly, so that sounds more like ame. One who does this will have his days abbreviated. Then we have an amen yosoma. That's an orphaned amen. That's one who says amen without hearing the brachi. He just hears people responding amen. And Rashi clarifies that in Alexandria, where they had this problem because people couldn't hear the bracha, they just heard people responding amen. They could respond amen because at least they knew what the bracha was referring to. Doing this, Ben Isaiah warns, will cause one's children to be orphaned. We're also told, Yizrok Brach Mepiv, one should not throw the blessing from his mouth. You shouldn't say it hastily. And Ben Isaiah concludes that whoever is lengthy with his amen, meaning he pronounces it properly, will merit length of days and years. So again, back to our sim. Was for everybody to finish pronouncing a properly enunciated amen and then break bread. And that reminds us, after reciting a motzi, the one who made the bracha is not permitted to break the bread until the listeners finish saying amen. Because the Gemara had early taught that the bracha must be finished before the bread is broken. Here it teaches that replying amen is considered part of the bracha procedure. It's according to Rashi. Daf Memches. So the sim for Memches is Moch brain when we're using brainiacs. Here we go. The seven brainiacs. Brainiacs reminds us of Daf Memches. The seven brainiacs would only let three non-bread eaters join their zimun, which reminds us that Zemokra is regarding how many of the men in a 10-man zimun are required to have eaten bread. Rav Yirmiyah says a simple majority of six. Rav Zera says a more noticeable majority of seven is required. The Gemara brings halacha that one who ate vegetables or wine can join in a zimun of 10, assuming there were seven who ate bread, but cannot lead the zimun unless he ate a kazayis of food produced from grain. So the seven brainiacs would only let three non-bread eaters join their zimun if they can match the right author to each bracha, Birchas HaMazon. Because we said, the Gemara detailed how the text of Birchas HaMazon was formulated. Moshe Rabbeinu composed the bracha of Hazan at the time the man fell. Yeshua composed the bracha for Eretz Yisrael when they entered the land. David HaMelech and Shlomo composed the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. And the sages of Yavne composed Hatov V'Hametiv on the day that the slain Jews of Beitar were finally allowed to be buried. Hatov, where it says who is good, refers to the Nes, the miracle that the bodies did not decay. The Hametiv, and who bestows good, refers to the kindness the bodies were allowed to be buried. If they could match the right author to each bracha, Birchas HaMazon, as well as identify the source of each bracha. Because we said the Gemara breaks out the verse of Vachalta B'Savata U'Veirachta and tells us the source for each of the blessings of Birchas HaMazon. Vachalta B'Savata U'Veirachta is Hazan. Es Hashem Elkecha is a source for the Zimun. Al Ha'aretz on the land is for the bracha on the land. Bonei Yerushalayim comes from Hatova, the good land, because Yerushalayim is called Har Hatov, the good mountain. Hatov HaMetiv comes from Asher Nasan Lach. Daf Mem Tes. So the symbol for Mem Tes is meat and a butcher. So here we go. The extremely generous butcher, that reminds us we're on Daf Mem Tes. The extremely generous butcher sent bundles and bundles of mitzvah meat, which reminds us that Gemara said that we don't conclude a brach with two subjects because we don't perform mitzvahs in bundles. Ein osi mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. So for example, we don't conclude the brach of Birchas HaMazon with Bonei Yerushalayim, that Hashem is the builder of Yerushalayim as well as Moshiach Yisrael, the savior of Yisrael, and kabetz him a bread for the Zimun, which reminds us of the Machlokas between Meir and Yehud regarding the minimum amount of bread one must eat to be obligated in the Zimun. Where Meir says it's a kazayis, because he interprets the word v'chalta, referring to achila, eating, and savata is referring to shasiya, to drinking, and therefore the minimum amount for achila is a kazayis. Rav Yehuda says it's a kabetza, because he interprets the words v'chalta v'savata together as referring to an achila sheyesh basvia, an eating that has within it satiation, which is a kabetza. So once again, the extremely generous butcher sent bundles and bundles of mitzvah meat and kabetzim of bread for the Zimun to the yeshiva's Rosh Chodesh party because they never forgot to say Yal v'yavo on the benching. We learned that Rav Nachman explained logically why when one forgets to say Yal v'yavo on Rosh Chodesh, the tefillah, he must repeat it, but when it forgot to say in Rosh Chodesh benching, he doesn't have to repeat it because tefillah is obligatory, so it must be repeated with the proper mentioning of Rosh Chodesh. Eating bread on Rosh Chodesh is not a chiv, it's not obligatory, so there's no need to repeat benching if Yal v'yavo is forgotten. Daf Nun. So the sim for Nun is a nincompoop. So here we go. The nincompoop reminding us we're on Daf Nun, who always forgot to make brachas. We learned that if one mistakenly put food in his mouth without reciting a bracha, if it's a liquid, he should swallow it. If it's food that won't be made repulsive by spitting it out, he should spit it out, make the bracha, and then eat it. If spitting it out would make the food repulsive, he should shift it to the side of his mouth, make the bracha, and then eat it. So again, the nincompoop always forgot to make brachas and join in a zimun. So we learned that if a group of three ate bread together and then one of them recited Birkas Hamazon on his own, without a Zimun, he may join the other two in a Zimun so they can fulfill their obligation, but he doesn't fulfill his own obligation because there's no such thing as a retroactive Zimun, Zimun Lumafreya. So it was declared a total ignoramus when the rabbi overheard all the textual changes he made in his benching. Because we learned that the Gemara taught us that one can discern whether a person's a Talmud Chacham or an ignoramus, a boor, from the way that he makes brachas. Okay, so now let's conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Here we go. Number one. Which stuff do we have the different opinions regarding who is considered an Am Haaretz? That's on Daf. Mem Zion. Great. Number two, where do we learn? Ein osi mitzvahs chavilos. Chavilos, one should not bundle up his mitzvahs. The example being that one should have two different ideas within the conclusion of a bracha. That's on Daf. Mem Tes. Good. Number three, where do we learn that two people can make the third person in their group join their Zimun, but one person can make the two people interrupt their meal to join a Zimun with him? That's on Daf. Mem Hey, good. Number four, where do we learn there's no such thing as a retroactive Zimun, a Zimun Lemafreya? That's on Daf. Nun, good. Number five, where do we learn the 10 things that are done for the Kos Shel Bracha? That's on Daf. Nunav, good. Number six, where do we learn about the different authors of the brachas of Birchas and Muslim? That's on Daf. Memches. Good. Number seven. Where do we learn that the Baal Bais is Botzei? He's the one who breaks the bread, but a guest is the one who leads the benching, so he can say the Yiratzon. That's on Daf. Memvav. Good. Number eight. Where do we learn what one should do if they forgot to make a bracha and the food is still in their mouth? That's on Daf. Nun. Great. Number nine, which stuff to go into all the different improper ways one can say Amen? Amen Chatufa, Amen Ketufa, Amen Yosoma, and so on. That's on Daf. Mem Zayin. Great. And finally, question number 10. Where do we learn the difference between forgetting Yal V'Yavo of Rosh Chodesh in Tefillah versus forgetting it Yal V'Yavo in Rosh Chodesh benching? That's on Daf. Mem Tes. Great. So that concludes our pop quiz for today. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.